So, yeah.
Okay, we're testing. It looks like...
It is recording us.
Shit is happening. Life is happening. We'll do another test.
Let's try again.
Do we need to speak louder?
How loud do we need to speak?
Pop it.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
And by unstoppable annoyances, I think Anna means to say that we are in fact icons.
Qualified professionals.
Correct.
Wait, I'm gonna just sound closer to the microphone.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That was scooting in real time. We kept trying our microphone, thought that it sounded far away. It's because the sound was not coming through our headphones. So we're off to a really great start on what is a very cold weekend here in St. Louis.
Is it like 20 degrees outside?
It's like 22. The high tomorrow is 6. I understand that for some of you that may not be cold, but I grew up in Tennessee and Anna grew up in San Diego, so it is cold. However... still better than Phoenix.
Oh, God. So much better than Phoenix.
Yes. So we're here today to talk about a few tips and a few drops and a few drafts. So we're excited to bring you the first pod of 2024.
Oh, right. We haven't done... I swear to God, my concept of time has left. She doesn't exist anymore at all. I forgot that it's 2024 and that we haven't done a podcast logically since last year, since we were only 13 days into 2024.
That is correct. And I would also like to point out that the last time we did the pod, it was uploaded the same night.
Yeah.
And we are doing this pod on the drafts are a big part of it. And last night, I'm going to burp.
Incredible.
Last night was... the NWSL draft, and the fact that we are doing this, that we had enough foresight to get this done, to get this planned. And by planned, I mean on the calendar, because we did do the planning today.
Yeah, we did the planning up until about 5 minutes ago.
But I think it was a good pre-planning of the day, because we decided to do brunch.
Yep.
And then plan, and brunch plan pod. That's...
yeah, it's the new GTL. Jersey Shore who?
My dog's name is Snooki. Never seen that. Go watch VIP on Dropout.
Yeah.
Okay. But we're happy to be here. Happy that you're still listening. If you are still, in fact, listening. I did want us to continue doing the same bad British accents that we were doing during the testing. I believe that idea has been nixed. But maybe it'll show up.
Oh, it probably will. Let's be completely honest.
Absolutely. Okay.
Mm-mm, that's not how you say okay in a British accent. Please do the correct okay.
Okay. Okay.
Oh my God.
I've been coughing since December, the beginning part. Okay, well.
It's time for us to actually talk about soccer. And we're going to start with, okay, so we mentioned drafts. There was the NWSL draft last night. A bunch of young collegiate players got drafted. Beautiful, we love that. We'll talk about that, we'll get there. But first, there was another draft. The expansion draft happened on December 15th. Two new teams are joining or rejoining, as the case may be, the NWSL. So we have Bay City and Utah Royals. And as a result, they get to essentially take their pick of the players that are already in the league. Teams are permitted to protect a total of 9 players, and all other players must be unprotected.
So a team is permitted to protect one additional player after the first expansion team selects a player from its roster. We'll get to how fucked up this all is. Unsigned, unrestricted, and restricted free agents are not eligible to be selected in the expansion process. Under 18 players are also not eligible to be selected in the expansion process, and individuals on the discovery list of any team are not eligible to be selected in the expansion draft.
Yes. And players with a no trade clause are required to be protected by their current club. Teams are required to disclose to the league, along with the protected and unprotected designation, any players who a team believes will be unavailable to play by January 1st, 2024, due to injury, retirement, loan, or any other reason, and that information will then be shared with the expansion teams. Each incumbent team may lose no more than 2 unprotected players throughout the expansion draft. It is so stupid.
It's a lot. So Bay City. So if you weren't aware, the Bay City is in the Bay Area.
Yes.
There are a lot of bays, but that's the biggest, most famous bay.
It is the one that is most consistently called the Bay Area.
Correct. You know, as while we're explaining things.
Yeah, no, fair enough. There are a lot of bays.
So Bay City acquisitions. Alyssa Mallinson, OL Reign, which actually is now back to Seattle Reign FC, which we love.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. Tess Bodie from the North Carolina Courage. Can you tell that I definitely rehearsed saying these names? Rachel Hill from San Diego Wave. Caitlin Rowland from NC Courage. Sierra Anga from God damn it.
We're doing great.
I am crushing this right now. From San Diego Wave. Alex Loera from the Kansas City Current. I'm wearing their sweatshirt today. Dorian Bailey from the Washington Spirit. Emily Mangus from Portland Thorns, which I thought was kind of a surprise, but could be due to previous aforementioned scandal with coach.
Yes.
Scarlett Camberos from Angel City and Joelle Anderson from the Houston Dash.
Yes, and Utah Royals got Elise Bennett from Reign FC, Paige Monahan from Racing Louisville, Michaela Clough, which is an incredible last name, from the Orlando Pride, Kaylee Real from San Diego Wave, Emily Gray and Frankie Tagliaferri from the North Carolina Courage, Mandy Hott from Gotham, which I thought was interesting given her performance in the final.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that does make sense that they'd want her. But it just sucks that Gotham didn't protect her. Kate Delfava from Kansas City Current, Hannah Bedford from Portland Thorns, Carly Nelson from the Orlando Pride, and Cameron Tucker from the Houston Dash. There are many, and we kind of mentioned this later, but just there are other players that were acquired by Utah and Bay City through free agency that you will have seen if you care or pay attention on social media. There's like Caprice Didasco who left the Houston Dash and is on, I think, Utah now, and like Amani Dorsey and a couple other players. But these are the players that were actually chosen as a result of the expansion draft.
Right. And then there are also players that some teams like traded away preemptively to avoid to gain protection from the expansion draft. So there's a lot that goes into it. I think it is a pretty disliked process of going through things, especially by players. It kind of dicks team loyalty in a way. Yeah. And that really sucks.
Yeah. And it also means because of the limited amount of players that a team gets to protect, they have to be, you kind of see where you stand with your team. And that sucks because it is due to a lot of circumstances, not just your ability to be a part of the team and what you provide for the team. It has a lot more to do with like front office stuff.
Yeah.
And that is stupid and sucks and isn't what the sport is about. And on top of that, these, just because a team has decided to come into the league, why do they get to just yoink players from other teams without I feel like there's a different way that could happen.
More conversation around, because I bet there would actually be players that would like to go do that stuff. And I think that, you know, like Alex Morgan going back to San Diego Wave, it's probably an example of that. It's okay, great. Now there's going to be a team in Southern California that I want to be a part of. If there could actually be conversations around it, because I think we can go back a couple of years to the expansion draft with Racing Louisville and can see how this can really hurt players, because I think it can kind of come out of nowhere, especially when they're not protected. And it can also be a move that they didn't want to make. Now that there's free agency, there is a little bit more, like, choice involved. But, like, the expansion draft doesn't really give a shit too much about that.
You just get, like, hand God picked from a team and thrown into another one with very little say in the matter. And that just sucks as a player.
I would also like to say on a completely different note, I think that Anna had some easier names to say than I did, which is 100% my fault because I chose who was going to say what. So in some ways, I'm bitter. And in other ways, I'm bitter with me. But anyway, last night was the NWSL draft. Just like the normal draft. We're not going to do too much explaining on this because if you're familiar with other sports, it's pretty similar. So there were 56 overall picks. There were four rounds with 14 picks per round.
Math.
Yes! I love it. I don't. I'm so bad at math. There were like 30 schools represented, colleges, which was great. Six countries. And the number one overall pick was Ali Sentner, which I'm sure she is incredible. However, her last name is Sentner instead of Senator. And it's just kind of confusing. Please... please take that note, Allie. Thank you. Also, congratulations. We know you're listening to the pod. She's out of the University of North Carolina Go Tar Heels. She was selected by the Utah Royals, who had that number one overall pick. And here is how many players each team got.
Yeah, so Angel City got 3 players. Bay City got 5. Chicago got 5. And Houston got 5. Kansas City Current got 3 players. Gotham got 1.
Which we'll get around to why later.
Yeah. North Carolina got 3. Orlando got 4. Portland, 5 players. Louisville, 4 players. San Diego, 2 players. Seattle, 3. Utah Royals, 7. And the Washington Spirit got 6.
And I did a really good job of copying those from Wikipedia, but it was more of like a look at the tab, go back to the sheet. So if I miss some of those, I'm really sorry, but it's like close.
Yeah, it is mostly accurate. It gives you an idea of how many players, like which teams got more players than others.
Right.
Like the Utah Royals coming back into the league, getting a fuck ton of players versus Gotham, who made a bunch of smart trades and only had 1.
Right.
So you get the idea. The NWSL draft happened. We unfortunately don't know a lot about these players, which is partially our fault and partially Blatko's fault, which I will die on that hill. we didn't see a lot of these young players getting called up into the national team camp like we have been seeing in the past. That is a thing that he could have done. He didn't. So tragically, we don't know a lot of these players from that. But also, we didn't look.
Yes.
There's also that. So, you know.
So, again, bitter towards Blatko. Also... bitter towards us for doing other things.
We went to 1 collegiate soccer game.
We did, and it was fun. And
we just didn't go to more or pay attention at all. Please.
Look, I can't help that none of the SLU players wanted to be in the draft or got drafted.
No, and tragically, a couple Penn State players did get drafted, and they are the ones who beat SLU in the national championship. Playoffs.
Ouch.
So, you know, that we could have watched that game live, but instead we watched Pretty Little Liars.
To be fair, we tried to do both. And by that, I mean we watched a little bit of the SLU game and then it got sad.
And we stopped.
And then we went back to Pretty Little Liars.
Which also got sad.
Update. We are now into season 2 of Pretty Little Liars, which is...
a miracle.
It is a miracle. It was our goal to finish season 1... by the end of 2023, which we did, thank God. I don't know what ABC Family was on at the time, but there are like 25 or 26 episodes in this second season. Yeah. No show needs to have that many episodes in a season. Like, I'm actually really happy that we've moved towards the like 10 to 12 episodes a season versus these like 20 episode seasons with filler episodes, which basically, let's be honest, is all that Pretty Little Liars is. However, we're glad Caleb's there. That's all I'll say.
God, what a treasure. Truly.
What a treasure. Are we off track? No.
Are we on the track that we set up for ourselves? Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
But we do have more unrelated soccer news, and we just have like so many tips. Is really just what's going to happen for the rest of this episode.
So we have like a nice, because we are benevolent gods, we have chosen to do a tip sandwich. So we're not going to end on the bad stuff. We're going to do the good stuff and some bad stuff and then more good stuff.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're fucking welcome.
So to start, gotta start with the gays. Jess Fishlock and C.R. King got married in Wales. It was beautiful. All of the iconic people were there. Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe, obviously. And Lauren Barnes, players with Jess Fishlock for a very long time. Ali Krieger went. It was beautiful. They were beautiful. Go gays.
I would like to point out that Megan Rapinoe was in a boot and had a scooter, which makes us basically the same person.
Yeah. Celebs, they're just like us.
Just like us.
Next, Maria Sanchez is now the highest paid player in NWSL history. She signed a contract extension with the Houston Dash, and she's going to be making boatloads of money with them, which we love to see, and I love to see as a fellow Mexican. Good, because we are the same. You are like Jess Fishlock. Things are happening. And they're making noise, and it's stressing me out.
I'm like Megan Rapinoe. Anna's like Maria Sanchez. Slebs. They're just like us. Okay. So there have been some NWSL to WSL transfers that we're going to talk about.
Nope. That went Australian. It happens.
It does. They were, you know, the Brits. They colonized Australia.
So. They sure did.
So Emily Fox went to Arsenal, which we all knew was happening.
Yes.
But they kept it a secret for a long time for no fucking reason, and it wasn't a secret.
I think just until it was finalized.
Yeah, that's fair. I think there was like one TikTok where somebody saw her like bun in the background, and they had that noise. I was like, "What's going on?"
Yeah, because they tried to hide it. I think that actual image, because it's got like Leah Williamson and like Vivian Miedema, or I don't know, Beth Mead, and like two very famous Arsenal players.
Yeah,
and I think Arsenal took the photo down because they hadn't announced Emily Fox as a member of the team yet.
Ruh-roh. So Emily Fox is going to Arsenal. Christy Mewis is going to West Ham, which we know is because she and Sam Kerr finally got engaged. So,
which yay. Which we love for them.
All right.
Incredible. Go gays.
No more distance. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel I likened the Emily Fox secret that wasn't actually a secret to the Christy Mewis, Sam Kerr, like, sportsmanship post that, I don't know, ESPN Women or whoever the fuck posted that and said, like, what excellent sportsmanship after Christy Mewis and Sam Kerr were, like, cuddling on the field after the Matildas loss in the Olympics. Both terrible secrets.
Yes.
That weren't actually secrets to anybody but the news sources that were actually putting the information out.
That is correct.
Anyway, moving on. More tips. New York, New Jersey, Gotham have created themselves a little super team akin to the New York Liberty of the WNBA. They, in this offseason, have signed not one, not two, not three, but four powerhouse players.
My God.
And it's going to be incredible. So we have signed Emily Sonnet, Rose Lavelle, both who have left Seattle Reign, Tiana Davidson, who has left Chicago, and Crystal Dunn, who left Portland.
Jesus fucking Christ.
They lost Ali Krieger, and they're like, it's fine. We'll just sign everybody else. Their back line is going to be a brick wall.
Literally unstoppable.
Because they'll have Emily Sonnet and Tierna Davidson back there. Or they could put Emily Sonnet in the midfield. Or they could put Crystal Dunn in the midfield or the back line. Like, nothing's going to get past midfield. Nope. Unless they put it there. It's going to be incredible. Anyway, there are and continue to be so many other moves and trades happening that are worth noting, but we aren't going to be noting them because they're just simply too many. So go follow any women's soccer account, not ours because I don't post on it ever, but go follow them. You can follow the NWSL Instagram account. You can follow the respective teams. You can follow Together. You can follow Just Women Sports. There are just so many, okay? So many things are happening.
So my friend Casey, Go Racing Louisville, sent me a meme that was, because they were just signing so many fucking people, there was a meme that was like, Caitlin Clark signed to Gotham FC. SpongeBob signed to Gotham FC. Thanos signed. So it just, it's a little joke about
them signing everyone under the sun.
Yes.
And in Bikini Bottom. And under the sea.
Okay. Speaking of Ally Krieger is now going to be working for CBS as a correspondent. Correspondent. Which we love. And I'm so glad that it's not Carly Lloyd.
Oh, trash can.
Also CBS related, Midge Purse's episode of Kickin' It is very good.
Yeah, that's my opinion. I've seen it. She talks, her dad is there. They talk about, like, I guess at one point, Midge Purse's dad said that, like, she could go pro if she, like, thought about going to law school after she was done. And so she, like, took the LSAT, got a good score because she's Midge Purse, and not only is she an incredible soccer player, but she's also incredibly intelligent, like, academically intelligent, and...
Harvard.
Yeah. And passed the LSAT with a great score, and, like, made her dad happy, and I guess...
She was like, I thought about it, now let me go be one of the best soccer players ever.
Yeah, and her, like, the, he was asked, like, do you still, like, are you expecting that of her when she's done? He's like, no, she's good. Which I love. And also, she responds to the shitty things that Carly Lloyd said in her Kickin' It episode. So there's just, like, there's a lot of the facets of Midge Purse that we get to see. And 10 out of 10 would recommend, friend. Go watch it.
Yes.
Other media to consume. Tobin Heath and Kristen Press were on Glennon Doyle and Abby Wambach's podcast, We Can Do Hard Things, the most recent episode. They talk about their relationship because they're in one. Iconic. And a bunch of other things. It is really good. Go listen to it. They talk something that I genuinely took away from it, which is a thing that, like, I have, like, thought about in passing but not thought about. But, and it's a clip that you can, like, find. I think Kristen Press, like, re-put it on her story on Instagram or whatever. But... that Kristen Press, as a result of being injured and taking time away from soccer for a variety of reasons, realized that she has only ever thought of the things that she likes to do in relation to how successful she is at them. So she only likes to do something if she's good at it. She's never thought about whether she likes to do something just for doing it, regardless of whether she's good at it or not. And, like, I don't know, you see that kind of shit other places where people are like, I just really like pottery, even though I'm not good at it. But, like...
like, we have a podcast and we like it.
Even though we're not
good at it.
But it's just, like, a really good concept to think about in relation to the things that I like to do versus the things that I like to do because I'm good at them.
But, I mean, I'm obviously, I'm, like, teasing with the podcast and, like, you know, like, we love ourselves, whatever. But, like, in all seriousness, though, like, we're just too... two
dope
bitches.
Ladies.
Yes, two dope ladies. That's better. Just, like, doing this for fun. And we're not, like, we don't have the best equipment. And we're not, like, trying to be famous. Like, it's...
no.
You know? And so, I like that she said that. You know, that's good to remember. Because,
yeah.
You know, she does sound like a 3 on the Enneagram.
Oh, yeah. We learned their Enneagram types, too. Which I love. Because, I mean, we... we are our Enneagram types basically to a T for the most part.
Pretty much.
So Kristen Press is a 3 on the Enneagram and Tobin Heath is a 7. Abby Wambach is also a 7. And I don't really care what Glennon Doyle was. She's probably a 4.
She
no
is
offense.
A 4. Okay. I am also a 4.
And I'm an 8. And so it's just very interesting because your Enneagram type is usually, like, it's a trauma response. Like, regardless of what traumas you have or have not experienced, that is... like a framework that is most frequently used with them. And both Abby Wambach and Tobin Heath were talking about how being a 7 has been really helpful as an athlete because they don't hyper focus on negative aspects of any of it. They are just, like, really able to move on from it.
Must be nice.
And I was like, that's really interesting because a lot of the trauma that you experience is at, like, as a result of being a professional athlete. There's so much that goes with that. And I was like, that is fascinating. That is so interesting. I would just like to hear athletes talk about their Enneagram types and the relationships they find to sport.
Yeah.
I would like a whole podcast on that. Thank you so much, athletes who are listening to this.
Thank you. So actually, this is a soccer and Pretty Little Liars and Enneagram podcast now. So thank you. So, negative shit. Womp, 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 womp. Sam Kerr tore her ACL, which is really fucked. It was during training.
Yeah. In Morocco?
It's really a big bummer.
Yeah. So, also, yeah. She did just get surgery. That just happened. So, you know, here's to the road to recovery, I suppose.
I guess.
But also, I did see a lot of commenting about how, like, Chelsea's chances to win and like the league or anything else for the rest of the season have kind of tanked, which I get because of the style of play that they have. I saw somebody say, like, if you pass the ball to Sam Kerr, like, you are going to get an assist on your record because she's probably going to score. And that is kind of like the Chelsea mindset I think that Emma Hayes has created over time, which is totally fine. Like, it really works for them. But I think that the comments about every other team having a shot at winning it all now, especially Arsenal, which I love for me, but because they're more rounded teams, was an interesting take. And it'll be interesting to see what happens for the rest of the season.
I also don't think it's any small thing that Emma Hayes is also leaving at the end of the season. And I can't imagine that having, like, one of your best players, maybe your best player, out with a season-ending injury, and your coach, who has, like, helped you be, like, one of the winningest teams ever, like, it kind of sucks. Yeah. You know, I mean, I hope that they can, like, bounce back and do great, but, like, it sucks.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Another bummer is that Sandman has been broken up. Ashley Sanchez and Trinity Rodman, you can put it together. Having broken up, Ashley Sanchez was traded to the North Carolina Courage. Ugh, villain team.
Truly.
And not only is Trinity Rodman sad about it, but the rest of us are sad about it too, because they are so good together as friends, which seems lovely for them, but also for us watching as spectators to the sport.
Yes.
Another bummer, which is less of a bummer just because she's had a long career and that's wonderful. Tori Huster of the Washington Spirit is retiring. She has played with the Washington Spirit the entire time the NWSL has been an active league, which is since 2013. And she was playing in the WPS before that for the Western New York Flash. She has also been the president of the New York? What? The NWSL Players Association for years and had a hand in the CBA that is currently in place for players through 2026. She's been a leader in the league and she's highly respected. And it is great for her that she's retiring, but a bummer for the league because she's been such a pillar for so long.
Right. Bummers continued. Bummers, etc.
Yeah.
Back in December, the England FA chair, Debbie Hewitt, stated that it was like a 35-page report, I think, stated that Luis Rubiales, this is my quote, dumpster fire of a man, forcibly kissed Lucy Bronze and, quote, cupped and stroked Laura Coombs' face, which is fucking terrible. So basically, not only did he, like, publicly sexually assault Jenny Hermoso, like, also did it to some of England's players, too, so...
Gross.
Hate that. In another way, this is also a bummer, but, like, it's good for some teams and bad for others. So there are a bunch of European powerhouse teams that did not qualify for the Olympics, including Sweden and Great Britain, which I think is a shock. It's also kind of ironic because it was like, in order for Great Britain to qualify, England had to win or something, and they did, and they were playing Scotland at the time. But then because there was like a goal differential, somebody else, I think, but the Netherlands, like, it was nuts. So neither Sweden nor Great Britain will be in the Olympics this summer.
Yeah, which is a bummer. But what's not a bummer is that Offseason FC is back. We're back to the tips, by the way, because sandwich.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sandwich, bitch.
Offseason FC is back, which is Midge Purse and 10 other amazing players who do kind of, like, there's other players like... Nikki Stanton is there, Ifeanyi Onwenu is there, Taylor Smith, Michelle Lozier.
You're doing more than I know right now, so great work.
Taryn Torres, Paige Nielsen. I'm trying to figure out if I can do more, because there's four more.
I kind of just want to see if you can do this. None of these are written down. These are off the dome.
Yeah, there are four more, and I cannot remember them now, tragically. Maybe I'll get there. They might just pop up. Maria Sanchez is there. And three more, because there's 11 total. So they all go to a house in Miami, and they train, and they hang out, and they overall have a lot of fun, and document their time on social media, and it is amazing. It's like the real world, but they all already know each other, and also there is some semblance of structure. Go follow Offseason FC on Instagram and whatever other social media you can find their stuff on, because it is incredible. Also included in that is there is a TikTok that Midge Purse and Iffy did recently, where they like make a video about their significant other sending them like a good luck or like do great text message or message before a game. And they call in the description of the video, they call them WAGs, which stands for wives and girlfriends. Also excellent. Wives and girlfriends, which is usually like the term that is used for the significant others for male players, but they called their significant others WAGs.
I love that.
Which I love so much. It is a good time and so much fun to watch, and just go find it.
Do
it. It's good. And now I'm going to look up who the rest of those players are because I have to know. Continue, please.
Yes. So there is New Thorns ownership. RAJ Sports are now the new owners of the Portland Thorns. So give me 1 second because I'm going to do a little something right quick that I just ignore this.
I'll just tell you the other athletes. It's Allie Watt and Lila Bonta and, oh, Kelly Hubley.
Hubley.
Those are the other ones. God damn it. I hate that I had to look that up.
It's all really sad. Okay, so RAJ Sports are now the new owners of the Portland Thorns. A key component of its new ownership is RAJ Sports' commitment to advancing plans for a new first-class, purpose-built, women's soccer-specific training facility. Second to the Kansas City one that's going to open later this year. Ha-ha! So here's hoping that they don't fuck it up!
Yeah, I did add that because I felt like it was... it's hopeful, but also...
realistic.
Yeah. Can't have too much hope. Do you not want to say his name?
Nope.
So for context, what was happening when I was looking up the players who are at offseason was that Jillian was reorganizing the notes so that I have to say the Spanish man's name.
Okay, to be fair, we used to edit this podcast, and I could, you know, practice saying a name, but we're lazy and we don't do that anymore, so you get what you get, and you already heard me do bad name stuff earlier, and I don't want to do it again.
Yeah. It was also spelled wrong, so that's probably for the best, because I recognize that. So the Washingtons, what this is all about is Washington Spirit have a new head coach, which we love for them. It is Jonathan Hirades.
Not how I would have said that.
Yeah. He is currently the head coach of FC Barcelona, where he's coaching some of the best players in the world,
yeah,
including, but not limited to, Alexia Putellas. He will now be moving over to the Washington Spirit, which is a huge get for them. It's also a huge get for the NWSL writ large.
Yeah.
But that's... I'm shocked that he decided to make that move, especially with the Chelsea opening now. But also related, but not really related, because it's just another coach thing that I didn't write on here. Now that the Chelsea opening is there, I saw something that said that that two of the people who are in contention for that job spot are Laura Harvey and San Diego head coach Casey Stoney. God,
she wants to go back.
Unclear, but they are in contention for that, at least according to the rumors. Whether that is true or not, we will see. But both British ladies who could be going back. But that is not on this list. Not on this list, but something I just remembered. Anyway, yes. Moving on to things that are actually on this list. U.S. Soccer has announced their awards for the end of the year, Players of the Year. And the U.S. Soccer Player of the Year for women, I didn't include that, but is Naomi Girma, who is the first pure defender to ever win. I think there have been other defensive players who have won in the past, but she is the first pure defender to ever win on top of all of the other things that she has won since she has been in both on the national team and in the NWSL. She's incredible. 10 out of 10. Totally deserving. U.S. Soccer Young Player of the Year is little bebe Olivia Moultrie, who's not even the littlest bebe anymore.
I know. Isn't she like 18 almost?
Yeah, she's like basically an adult compared to all of the other bebes in the league.
There's so many of them.
But I love that for her.
Yes.
Things are only looking up. Oh, should I find the message?
Oh.
For the next thing?
Yeah. So I will... Just big shout out to Delilah, who actually both of us used to...
Yeah.
I mean, we both lived with her. She was my roommate, like housemate for the last 4 years, but we both did our program with her. Her Christmas present to us was a cameo message from one headband wearing Bethany Balser. I almost said OL Rain. Seattle Rain FC icon.
Who just got re-signed.
Love it. So good. You may recognize her because she came in when Megan Rapinoe yeeted her Achilles.
She sure did.
So we got a cameo message from her, and it was so nice. And I guess we'll play it for you here.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It's ours now.
Hi, Anna and Jillian. Bethany Balser here, forward for OL Rain. I just wanted to give a quick hey and say that I absolutely love this podcast of yours, all about the NWSL. And I think it's absolutely incredible that you are helping give our league exposure by talking about it and bringing up important topics. And so I just want to say thank you so much for your support, whether you go to games or not. This podcast is doing absolutely incredible things for our league. So I'm super, super excited about the growth of this league, and you're contributing to that. So I just want to say thank you so much. I hope everything continues to go well. If you ever need a special guest, I can be available for you. And one of my favorite soccer jokes, which it's kind of silly, but it always made me laugh, was why was Cinderella so bad at soccer? Because she always ran away from the ball. That's one of my best and favorite soccer jokes. But anyway, I just want to say thank you so much again, just for your investment in the league. In this really cool and special way. So keep up the great work.
Oh my God.
Also, for context, Delilah asked her what one of her favorite soccer jokes is. So that's why we got a soccer joke, which I love.
Yes.
But it wasn't just out of nowhere.
Which, I mean, would have been iconic, but it was actually requested. So this is... very exciting for us.
And maybe Bethany Balser will be a guest in the future.
Bethany, if you A, have actually listened to this podcast, and B, made it to the end of one, which would be understandable if you didn't.
Yeah, totally fair.
We would love to have you. I'm sure we'll tag you in this. Thank you for doing that. That was so kind. I know it probably felt like a make-a-wish situation. and it was. Because we are, in fact, hopeless.
Oh no.
Terminally stupid.
That's the one.
There we go.
Older and still stupid.
Yep. That's us. Oh my God. Okay. Well, you know where to find us.
You can follow our Instagram if you want, I guess. There's not much on it except for way remember to do things, and that's just at HatPixPod. And we've pretty much gotten rid of every other way that you could ever contact us.
That's correct. So on that note, I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
The Epics Podcast.
2024 edition.
We back bitches.
Yeah. Nope. Oh no.
Oh no, so close.